for it. The reason is because this song, that song talks about, we'll understand it all by and by. You know, there is so much that we don't understand. One of the things I have prayed for through my sickness and through Mama's death is, God, give me understanding. But finally, I had to say, God, I trust you. And see, that's what trust is. It is trusting God when you don't understand. When you don't understand. One day we will, but now we don't. But we just have to trust Him. We just trust Him. You'll understand where I'm going with this in just a minute, in a little bit. But let's look in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading with verse 29. And the Bible says, "And when the people were gathered thick together," now I saw that, thick, and I wonder, why did God's Holy Spirit put that in there? There's a reason. I don't know why. But there's a reason. But that's the things you look for when you're reading the Bible. Something that jumps out at you, you know, and say, well, what is that about? So I'm going to have to study that a little bit. So let me back up and start again. All right. "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for thy goodness and grace. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you, God, for your word, and it never fails, God, to amaze me. God, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather around, and for these that, God, see the need and desire, God, to in obedience to study thy word. I pray, God, your blessings upon each one. And I pray, God, that as we begin to look at this, that, God, this will not just be 30 minutes. That, God, we say, well, I was in church. But God, that this will be time when we commune with you, and God, you speak to our hearts and you show us, God, great and mighty things. God, I pray that we'll see thy glory tonight as we look at the scripture, as we study thy word. Use it, God, to strengthen us, and God, to make us, God, what we should be for thee, that, Lord, we might bring glory to thy name. God, you have your way. We'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, after weeks of interruptions, we are back to our study on one greater than Jonah. And beloved, if you recall, we had talked about how Jonah was a type of Christ. What is a type? Refresh everybody's memory. What is a type? Talk to me, anybody.
Well, a type is an earthly example of a heavenly truth.
Absolutely. It is an earthly example of a heavenly truth. It is an example. It is a, I'm looking for the word, we make scale models. What do we call that? We'll make a scale model of something.
Replica.
Well, that's not the word I'm looking for. But anyway, that's what an example is. It is a model. It is an example of some great spiritual truth in the Word of God. And the Bible is full of types. And we in this study have talked about how Jonah is a type of Jesus, an example of Jesus. We've looked at similarities between Jesus and Jonah. We've looked at differences between Jesus and Jonah. Because Jesus said about himself in this scripture, Luke 11:32, and also in Matthew 12:41, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Talking about himself. Therefore, beloved, while Jonah is a type of Christ, there are also differences between them because Jesus is far, far, far greater. Amen? Far greater. Now, tonight, we're going to look at how Jonah and Jesus were both a sign. They were a sign, beloved, that Israel missed concerning Jesus. A sign that Nineveh heeded concerning Jonah. And this is the first one that we're going to deal with, in fact, this is the one we're going to deal with tonight, is the sign of salvation. The sign of salvation. Folks, we all know the story of Jonah. We know how God, beloved, sent him to preach to the Ninevites. But Jonah, like so many of us, rebelled against what God wanted and rebelled against God's will and disobeyed, beloved. See, he didn't want to preach to the Ninevites. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, were wicked, evil, vile people. In fact, beloved, you would be hard put to find a more wicked, evil people that's ever been. And we know this from archaeology. They have unearthed. And these people were just cruel and wicked and evil. They worshiped other gods. And they were the enemies of God's people. Now, for these reasons, if for none other, and I'm sure there were probably other, I think old Jonah had a little bit of Jewish pride in him. Beloved, he did not want to preach to those people. He didn't want to preach to them. You see, God had a plan. He had a plan for Nineveh. He had a plan, beloved, for Israel. So he wanted Jonah to go to those Ninevites and preach to them and fulfill that plan. But Jonah, like us, so often, I see myself in this. Jonah thought he knew what was right and best. He thought he knew what was right and best more than God did. More than God did. And he couldn't understand, there's the word. He couldn't understand why God would care about these evil, wicked people and want him to go and preach to them. Not only that, but when Jonah was called to preach to them, that was in about, and don't quote me on this, about 725 B.C. 50 years later, thereabout, these same Assyrians would come against Jonah's people and would utterly wipe them out. And by that I mean they would capture them and take them away. And they would be no more. And you know, Jonah being a prophet, he may have had a wind of that. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But whatever the reason, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to preach. And he couldn't understand why God wanted him to. In short, here's what was happening. He didn't trust God. He didn't trust God. God said go. And he couldn't understand, so he didn't trust God. He leaned to his own understanding. What does Proverbs chapter 3 say? If you want to turn there real quick. Proverbs 3, you probably know it by heart. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own what?
Understanding.
Understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Beloved, that's what Jonah didn't do. He didn't trust God to do what was right and best. He leaned to his own understanding. He didn't acknowledge that God is in what he did. Instead, he ran. You know, it's easy to say, I trust God. It is easy to say. But brother, it's another thing when you're facing the situation. When you're where the rubber meets the road, you know what that phrase we use or that saying we use. And beloved, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. But you know that God is good. You know that God knows what he's doing. And you just have to trust him. You just have to trust him. I have said to God a million times these last weeks, God, help me understand. Help me understand. And God has given me some understanding and answer, but I don't understand it all. And nobody does. And there comes a point and a place and a time where you just have to say, God, I don't understand, but I trust. Just like when I was praying to God, and I'm not going to keep bringing mama up, but y'all forgive me right now because it's fresh to me. Like I was praying, God, take her. God, please take her. And I couldn't understand why God was taking her. And God said, no. I got work for her to do. I didn't understand that. But I said, God, I'll just trust. God, I'll trust you. And boy, did God show me. Did he show me. But Jonah didn't do that. And you know what happened, beloved? Because he would not trust God and because he leaned to his own understanding, Jonah ended up in the belly of a whale. In the belly of a whale. When we don't trust God, listen to me, bad things happen. Bad things happen. But when you trust him, it's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. It's going to be all right. For 3 days and nights, Jonah went through indescribable torment and fear, beloved, in total, absolute darkness. How many of you have ever been in absolute darkness? Somebody said, well, preacher, I walk outside at 9 o'clock. That's not absolute darkness, man. I'm telling you. I remember years ago, and I know if I hadn't experienced this, I wouldn't be able to have any idea what I'm talking about here. When Arthur and I went to one of the caverns up in the mountains on the other side of Townsend, and we were in there, and the light lit up, beautiful, man. And all of a sudden, the guide said, I want to show you something. I want to tell you that you're about to see something that many of you have never seen before. He said, I'm going to show you absolute darkness. And he flipped that light, and all the lights went out. And brethren, you talk about the feeling of terror, of fear, even when you knew that you were with a group. I mean, it was just indescribable. And I was so glad when they took those lights back on. But here was this man, beloved, in absolute darkness for 3 days and three nights. Listen, it can only be described as a picture, as a type of hell. Of hell. You know what the Bible calls hell? Outer darkness. Outer darkness. Because there's no light there, beloved. God is not there. There's no light there. He is the light. Amen. It is outer darkness. You know, some people believe that Jonah literally died there in that belly. And he may have. I don't know. But and this is me, this is my opinion, I tend to believe that he suffered. I tend to believe that he, beloved, screamed and prayed and cried to God in utter fear and suffering and in anguish of mind and heart for 3 days. He cried and cried and cried in that outer darkness to God. Why do you say that, preacher? Because this was a type of Jesus' death and his descension. Him descending into the lower parts of the earth. That's what this is a type of. Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, he says, Jonah, well, let's look at it. Matthew 12:40, turn over there real quick. Matthew 12:40, he says in verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Amen. This is a type of Jesus' death and descension into, beloved, the heart of the earth, into hell. Jonah, beloved, was there for 3 days and nights. Then that whale threw him up. He was vomited upon dry land. Suddenly, he's in that darkness crying to God in anguish and fear. And suddenly, beloved, he's thrown up and there's the light and there's the sun and there's the air. That's a type of the resurrection. Of the resurrection. 3 days and three nights, Jesus said. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What about the fourth day, Jesus? He didn't tell it here. But what he was saying was, then I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise. The resurrection. So what did Jonah do after he left that whale's belly? He, as God's servant, beloved, preached to Nineveh, to the Gentiles, just like God told him to. Just like God told him to. Let me ask you something. What did Jesus do after his resurrection? 50 days later, what happened?
The 50 days later? Well, that was when the Holy Ghost came down.
He started his church on the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit coming down, like he said. He started his church after his resurrection. The Lord, beloved, gave birth to the church by the Spirit of God. And, beloved, he sent them, the church, out as witnesses. As witnesses, not just to Israel, but to the whole world. He said to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth they were to go. You see, this was all a type, an example of the Lord's death and descent and resurrection, a type of salvation being preached to the Gentiles. Amen. To the Gentiles. So what happened when Jonah got to Nineveh? Now follow me. God, and I qualify this, God, I believe, had prepared Jonah's way before he got there. Now I want you to think about it. I believe the news of Jonah's ordeal had spread before him. Now the Bible doesn't tell us that, but beloved, as you look at the scripture, it just fits. I mean, it's just there. Get the picture. Here were the Ninevites. The Assyrians, the most evil, wicked, adulterous people in the world, the enemies of Israel, and in comes a Jewish preacher who don't like them, and he starts preaching to them about God, a God that they don't even know, that they don't believe in, and beloved, they repent and get saved. What happened? What happened? Just the preacher show up and start preaching and they just suddenly did it? I believe God had prepared the way. I believe God had prepared the way for Jonah to come. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, if God had just delivered you from the belly of a whale, now put yourself in Jonah's place. If he had just delivered you from a belly of a whale, saved you from certain death, wouldn't you tell it? Wouldn't you? What would you do? Get out of that whale and say, okay, I'm going to Nineveh and I'm going to preach to the Nineveh. Brother, when he hit that beach, I got a funny idea. That little prophet was jumping all over the place and running up to everybody. He hadn't seen anybody in 3 days and running up to him. Oh, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you how God delivered me. Let me tell you how God saved me. I was in the belly of a whale and God saved me. I believe Jonah told it. And beloved, in fact, while Jonah was in the belly of that fish, he said in Jonah chapter 2, he said, I will pay what I have vowed. In other words, he said, I will keep my promises to God to serve and obey Him. I'll keep my vows to God. And then he said, salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Jonah 2 verse 9. God had saved him. God had saved him. He was telling everyone how God had miraculously saved him. And the word, beloved, listen, the word had traveled far and wide what had happened to Jonah. I mean, it ain't every day you hear a story like that, amen? Amen. Now let me stop right here for a minute. If God had saved you from the belly of a whale, wouldn't you tell it? How many of you would say, yeah, preacher, I'd tell that? You better believe it. Listen to me. God has saved us from something far, 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 beloved, worse than the belly of a whale. God has saved us, beloved, from the eternal torments of a burning hell. God, beloved, has saved you and I from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. He saved us, beloved, from eternal separation from the God of love and mercy. Amen. He saved us. It's much so, more so than He saved Jonah from that whale. That fish's belly didn't hold a candle to the terror and horror of hell, friend. Listen, you ready for this? So why don't we tell it? Why don't we tell it? Why don't we tell it? Why aren't we telling people how a loving, merciful God, beloved, has saved us from a fate worse than death by giving His Son and His Son shedding His blood? Listen to me. Gratitude, overwhelming gratitude to our God, beloved, demands that we tell it. That we tell it. See, we better start realizing what God has done for us, people. We better start realizing it. We better start realizing, beloved, the debt that we owe to Him and tell others of His mercy and His grace and how He saved us. I'm going to tell you something. And a lot of Christians don't understand this. God didn't just save you to keep you from hell. He did not just save you to keep you from hell. Beloved, He saved you for His glory. If He had saved you, beloved, just to keep you from hell, beloved, He would have taken you right straight on to heaven when He saved you. But He saved you not just to keep you from hell. He saved you that He might get glory from it. Listen, this thing is bigger than you and I. This is God. This is God. This is God. I told somebody the other day, I think I was talking to Scott. I said that one of the biggest problems we have as Christians is we can't get by us. If we could get by us and see that it's God, boy, it'll make a difference in your life. And the way he gets the glory, the way he gets the glory is by saving your never dying soul is by you and I telling it. Telling it. That's how he gets the glory. I believe Jonah told it. I believe he told it. I believe when he got to Nineveh, beloved, the story was out how God had saved this Jewish preacher. The Ninevites, beloved, had heard. So when a man appeared at their gate and he was bleached by the gastric juices of that great fish, beloved, preaching yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Beloved, they took heed to what he said. They took heed. Otherwise, they'd have never noticed that a little preacher. But they heard how God, his God, had delivered him from the well of a whale. And when he said, that same God is going to destroy this city, brethren, their ears picked up. And they heeded the word of God. Listen, the whole city repented and cried out to the God of Israel for salvation. Now, how did they know that God would save them? Jonah didn't preach that. You read it. Nowhere does the book of Jonah tell us that Jonah went through that city saying, hey, God's going to destroy this city, but if you repent and turn from your wicked ways and turn to God in repentance, that God will spare your city. How did they know? How did they know that God would save them? They knew, beloved, that God had saved Jonah from the whale's belly. They knew. And maybe that same God would have mercy on them. Maybe that same God that had mercy on Jonah would have mercy on them and save them if they turned from their sins and turned to that God. That's how they knew. That's how they knew. Even the king, if you read the book of Jonah, the king of Nineveh, he said, maybe if we repent, I'm putting it in my own words, but he said, maybe if we repent, God will hear and he'll spare our city. Amen. Because that's what he had done for Jonah. Jonah was a beloved, listen to me, a walking testimony of the salvation of God. Amen. Of the salvation of God. Now let's get back to what this is a type of. Jonah was a type of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Who had been raised from the dead. Jonah was a type of Jesus who had been raised from the dead. What did the early church preach? What did they preach? In your own words, what did they preach? They preached. Go ahead.
Repent.
And
be baptized.
And baptized, which that's another way of saying it, but I want you to give the details.
They preach repent and believe in your whole
heart. All right. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and he will save you. That's what they preach. They preached the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That's what they preached. That's what they preached. Now listen to me. Just like they preached that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and just like Jesus lives, listen, they preached you can live. You can live to, if you repent and turn to him in faith, trusting in his finished work, you don't have to perish in the torments of hell. God will save you through Christ. That's what they preached.
Amen.
Do you see? Jonah was a sign of God's salvation to Nineveh. And Nineveh repented and they were saved. They were saved. Now, we've seen how Jonah was assigned to Nineveh. How was Jesus assigned to Israel? Go back to Luke 11. Look again with me at verse 30. For as Jonah was assigned unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. How was Jesus assigned? Beloved, he was assigned to Israel in that generation. Listen to me. In that he was the fulfillment of the sign. Amen. He was the fulfillment of the sign of Jonah. And that was a sign to them, beloved, that salvation had come.
That's right.
That salvation was at the door. They knew, listen, the Jews knew the account of Jonah. They knew that Jonah had brought the message of salvation to the Ninevites. Jesus said, beloved, as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites of salvation, I am a sign to this generation of salvation. Of salvation. Jonah appeared at the gates of Nineveh and they knew that salvation had come to their city. Jesus is saying you should know, you should understand that the sign of the prophet Jonah is being fulfilled. I'm the fulfillment of that sign. I've come. Salvation is at your door. It's at your door. Beloved, the Jews knew all about signs and types. Jesus was trying to get them to recognize that he was bringing them salvation like Jonah had brought it to Nineveh. Jesus said, you want a sign? An evil and adulterous generation seeking for a sign. You want a sign? The only sign that you'll get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was a sign to Nineveh, I'm a sign to you because I am the fulfillment of the sign of Jonah.
Amen.
Of the type that Jonah was. I come bringing you salvation like Jonah came bringing salvation to Nineveh. He goes on to say, the people of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against you because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But a greater than Jonah is here and you won't repent. You won't repent. Listen, he even tells them how he's going to provide salvation. He tells them how. Matthew 12, verse 40. Matthew 12, verse 40. Listen again. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's saying, here's how the salvation's coming. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. And the third day, I'm going to rise again. Here's how it's coming. Look at Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, Jesus said, here's how salvation shall come. I will die. I will descend to the heart of the earth. Oh, but on that third day I will rise and conquer death and hell in the grave. It's like Jesus is saying, look for it. Look for it. Here's what will happen. Here's what's going to happen. And when you see me die, and you see me rise that third day, you'll know that I'm the one Jonah was a type of. I'm the one who brings you salvation like Jonah did to Nineveh. Somebody says, preacher, that's kind of hard for the Jews to see. Not if they know the Word of God, folks.
That's right.
Not if they know the Word of God. You see, the Word of God already said it. Hosea chapter 12, verse 11. God said, I have spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. In other words, God said, listen, I've spoken by the prophets. I've given them my word. I've given you visions. I've given you similitudes or types by the prophets. They knew that God used types to convey His truth. They knew that if they knew the Word. wasn't hard to understand. If you knew the Word of God and were in tune with God, that's a big one. And I hate to use that term, in tune. I'm telling Keith this, and then I don't know of another word to use. If they were in tune with, and I mean by that, if they were close to God, then they could understand. Then they could understand. But what did they do? They missed it. They missed Jesus. They missed salvation because they didn't heed God's word and weren't seeking to be close to God. You see, they let other things enter into their hearts and minds, like greed, like selfishness and pride, like worldliness and wealth and the flesh. Listen, they had, beloved, their eyes on the world and on the flesh instead of the eternal things of God.
Amen.
So they missed it. They missed it. Let me ask you, how much are we missing? How many blessings are we missing? How many miracles are we missing? How many wondrous acts of God are we missing? Because we aren't, beloved, heeding His Word and seeking that closeness with God. How much are we missing? I was telling, I think it was Keith today, I talk to so many people, Keith, if it's not you, I'm sorry. I was talking, I think, Keith today, and I was telling Keith, all those things that happened to Mama, those four prayers that God answered, a lot of people would have missed that because they'd have been thinking about me, my eye. And it was there. But they'd have missed it. And oh, what a blessing it was. Oh, let me tell you, that thing, brethren, has the only... I'm going to tell you, God has used that to lift this old boy up.
Amen.
And to just praise His holy name. How many things does God do for people all the time and they miss it? Because they're so busy with the world and the flesh. And they don't listen to God's word. How much are we missing? They miss Jesus. They miss salvation. And oh, how it costs them and their children and their children and their children and their children. Somebody says, "Preacher, I see how Jonah was a sign. And I see that Jesus was a sign. But preacher, how was Jesus greater? I mean, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Israel didn't repent at John's preaching. Preacher, doesn't that mean that Jonah was greater than Jesus?
Not a chance.
That's right, brother. Beloved, Jesus was greater because, listen, He was the fulfillment of the sign. Of the sign. Listen, Jonah brought salvation to Nineveh. Jesus brought it to the whole world, that to whosoever will believe. That's greater, amen? Listen, salvation is here, beloved. It's paid for. It's available to all because Jesus died and descended and rose again. It's a free gift of God, and He offers it to all who will believe. Tell me that's not greater than what Jonah did. Hey, Jonah was a messenger. Jesus is the message. Amen? Listen to me. Jonah simulated salvation. Jesus, beloved, is salvation. Is salvation. So shocked was Jesus at their rejection of Him. He said, Nineveh will arise in judgment and condemn this generation. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah and Jesus. Oh, you tell me, which one is the greatest? Which one? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Ask Martha to come to the piano. I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know yours. I don't even know my own. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. I don't even know my own deceitful heart. But I know that God has spoken to me as I studied this. And maybe God has spoken to you about something, about many things. Maybe you caught a glimpse, just a glimpse of God's greatness and God's goodness. And you just want to praise Him and love Him. We're going to give you opportunity. I'm going to ask you to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As Martha plays, if you want to come to this altar for whatever reason, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. Boy, I'm telling you, I have felt the anointing of God on me tonight. I praise Him. I thank Him. And you know, as I look at this altar, do you realize, folks, the revival that we could have break out in this church from this group right here? Right here. Oh, there's no end to what God can do through you if you lay it all on that altar and you give it to Him and you just trust Him. Just trust Him. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Scott if he'll lead us.